thank you this morning that we can gather together like this, as your children, in such freedom in our nation, this country that we live in, gathering together to praise and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, I thank you too that even as I share your word, that as your word goes out, that these words are your words, Lord, that these words are anointed by you. And they touch our hearts and they touch our lives, and things on the inside of us change because we have heard from you this morning. And I pray too, Father, that these words that go out do not return void, but that they land up in fertile soil and do not return null and void in Jesus' name. So Lord, we hand this all over to you, and in all that we do here this morning, may the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, be exalted in our midst. And Father, we ask that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Isn't it good to be here? But Danny, there's no better place. We can't wait to gather together and meet our brothers and sisters. And like now, again, midweek meetings, going to be able to meet our brothers and sisters. But before I share here this morning, I just want to read us a little story. It is about the world's oldest profession. Now, who knows what the world's oldest profession is? Don't say it because you're wrong. Okay, I know what you were going to say. Listen here. There was a doctor, a civil engineer, and a computer scientist. Do you know what a computer scientist does? I'm sure you do. You know, they get into all those nitty-gritties and come up and create all those social media things. We know about those, and there's Windows and all that stuff. You know all about it. We've got one sitting here today. So there was a doctor, a civil engineer, and a computer scientist who were arguing about what the oldest profession in the world is. So these guys are sitting together, the three of them, they're arguing about this thing. But the doctor remarks, he says, well, in the Bible, so he's right there, he's going to quote the Bible. He says, right, in the Bible it says that God created Eve from the rib taken from Adam. This clearly requires surgery. Clearly requires surgery, right? So I can rightfully claim that mine is the oldest profession in the world. The doctor. The civil engineer interrupted and said, but even earlier in the book of Genesis, it states that God created order of the heavens and the earth out of chaos. Huh? Is that right? It was created out of chaos. He says, this was the first and certainly the most spectacular application of civil engineering. But God created this out of chaos. Therefore, he says to the doctor, therefore, fair doctor, you are wrong. Mine is the oldest profession in the world. And the computer scientist leaned back in his chair and he smiled and he said confidently, he said, ah, but who do you think created the chaos? Yeah. And I pondered that. And man, you know, we have to give you guys a kind of pat on the back and well done for messing up our planet. You know, the way things used to be and to how they are today. Modern technology has sure created a lot of chaos out there. Anyway, folks, last week, we had a look at a portion of scripture from James where we discussed wisdom. You know, we took wisdom, those scriptures about wisdom in James, and we started to unpack those things. And I thought that it might be a good idea to be challenged from this letter again. Seeing we were in it last week, why not just continue and carry on looking at James? So remember that you can't read from James where any portion of scripture where you're not going to be challenged. We know that James is there to challenge us. So I have entitled today's message, Matters About Money. You know, James even spoke about money. So we're going to have a look what he had to say about this. And many of us here today, you know, we're sitting here, we're hearing from James, and we're actually tired of hearing from James. We heard from James last week. And James challenged us. And we're going to hear from James today. And we're kind of sitting here and saying, oh, here we go again. You know, this guy James, He just comes along and he starts to stand on my toes. And I'm starting to get bruised toes because he's always challenging me. Well, I have a solution for that. That afterwards we can have a prayer line over here, and anybody that's got bruised toes, you know, we'll lay hands on them and we'll trust that the Lord actually heals you right there. So, he continues to show us how you and I should be living our lives. We should be living our lives in a certain way. And so often, we actually don't want to hear how we should be living our lives because there's some stuff that we just like to do because we just like to do it. And we know that if we get into the Word of God, it's going to tell us not to do certain things, right? So today, we're going to be having a look at the first five verses out of chapter 5. And some of us already, I can tell you now, are going to be sitting here this morning, right, saying, oh, you know, these first five verses, you're going to be sitting here because here James is actually writing to rich people. So you're going to be saying, whew, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This, you know, is him writing to rich people, and this doesn't concern me. Okay. A huge sigh of relief kind of is heard right throughout the rows as I mentioned that. Right? And you're probably saying to yourself, well, at last, there's a challenge from the book of James that does not apply to me. This is not for me. Because James is writing to rich people and I'm not rich. Okay. Don't be too hasty. Don't be too hasty in coming to that conclusion. I want to say, folks, all of us sitting here today are rich when looking at the world's total population at the moment. Really. If we look at ourselves right here, we are really, really rich when you have a look at what's actually happening out there. Now, they say that the average annual salary of those living in the 40 poorest countries in the world, the 40 poorest countries in the world, is around 2,000 rand a year. Right? Whether these stats are right or wrong, they might be slightly out, I don't know. But it's there or thereabouts. Those living in the 40 poorest countries in the world, the average salary is around 2,000 rand a year. And what's really interesting about this, that 3/4 of the world's population live in those 40 countries. Okay, so that works out. I did my calculation. It works out to an average of around 170 rand a month people are earning. So let's just have a look and see what James says about all of this. Now, I want to say up front, I'm just the messenger here today. Okay? So, don't haul out your magnums and don't shoot the messenger. I'm just going to share what the Word of God says. And also, don't worry. I'm not going to take this message and somehow manipulate it, you know, so that it becomes a message about tithes and offerings and, you know, giving money into the kingdom and all of this thing. Because to be quite honest, you and I, if we are believers, we should be doing that already. That 10% in terms of your package, not just your salary, it's your package that should include your medical aid, your car allowance, your all those things. Your package, whatever you, 10% of that should be returned to the Lord, not given to the Lord, returned to the Lord. So I don't have to get into all of that. We should be doing that anyway. So are you ready for what he says now? Verse 1, he says, come now, this is chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl. I mean, how's that? Oh, that's what I thought. I don't know whether that's what he thought weeping and howling is. For the miseries that are coming upon you, your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Gold and silver have corroded and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields. So look at this. These are people, now they're getting people to work for them. And he says, behold, the wages of the laborers who have mowed your fields, which you keep back by fraud, keeping back their salaries or wages, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fatted your hearts in the day of slaughter. That's what James says. All right. So let's kind of see if we can unpack what James says. All right. Like I said, you know, don't be too quick to ignore these first five verses here, folks. We need to get our head around what he's saying over here. So James is now writing to a group of people who he describes as being wealthy. Right? And it's probably, I'm just guessing, it's probably how, what he calls wealthy, is probably how maybe the average South African, not the wealthy South African, average South African is living. Maybe it's even lower than that. I don't know. But the principles that James actually gives us here are really important. And for us to use our money, for us to use our money properly, we need to consider God. That's really what he's saying. We need to be those that consider God. You know, whether you earn a lot of money or whether you earn a little bit of money, God has put a principle in place, which is wonderful when you think about it, what belongs to him. If you earn a lot of money, well, let's just say you earn 10,000 rand a month. The tithe is 10%, right? Whether you earn 1,000 rand a month, the tithe is 10%. So, you know, it's based on percentages. So here's a question for us here today. Are you spending your money on the things that are really important to you? Think about it. Are you spending your money on the things that are really important to you? And I would imagine that most of us sitting here today would say, yeah, you know, I'm spending my money on the things that are important to me. But maybe that is the wrong question that I'm asking. Maybe the question, the real question should be this. Are you spending your money on the things that should be important to you? Am I spending my money on the things that should be important to me? Now, what are the things that should be important to us? Is God important to you? Right? Then we need to be obedient to what he's saying. Is the will of God important to you? Is the extension of God's kingdom important to you? So this morning, as I say, we're going to be looking at just some of the principles that we see here in the Bible that he gives us about money. Firstly, it's interesting this, eh? And I'm going to back it up. You know, this is scripture from the New Testament. I'll back it up with scripture from the Old Testament. James says, don't hoard it. Don't be a hoarder of money. Don't be a hoarder, but ensure that you manage your finances and that you manage your finances wisely. That's what he wants us to do. He says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. For the riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up or you have stored treasure for the last days. In other words, you've laid up this treasure, you've stored this treasure, you have hoarded it. This is what he is actually saying like there. And folks, let me say, there is absolutely nothing wrong with having lots of money. In fact, I walk over here and I'm going to turn the lights on while I tell you again, there's nothing wrong with having lots of money. Tell the person next to you, please. There's nothing wrong with having lots of money. There's nothing wrong with having even more than that. Okay? I'll tell you why. Because we can be blessed by God to be a blessing. This is what he wants for us. God doesn't got a hang up about money. And he would like for you, you know, to go out there and actually earn a lot of money and be successful, whatever it is. God's not worried about that. I'll tell you what he is concerned about a little later on. So one of the problems when it comes to money is the thing of hoarding. We hoard it. Now, I gave you scripture there out of the New Testament. Let me take you back to Ecclesiastes. Now, chapter 5, verse 13, it says, there is a painful tragedy that I've seen under the sun. Do we know who wrote this book? Who? Solomon. The same Solomon that wrote Proverbs wrote Ecclesiastes as well. All right. He is the wisest guy on the planet. We know his story. And this is what he says. He says, there is a painful tragedy that I have seen under the sun. Riches lead to the downfall of those who hoard them. The downfall of people. People who have money, where people who have riches, that their downfall is not the riches, it is their attitude towards it where they hoard it. There's a painful tragedy that I've seen under the sun. Riches lead to the downfall of those who hoard them. So, we can see in the Bible that the Bible does not discourage you and I from accumulating wealth. There's no problem in going out and accumulating wealth. It does not say, the Bible does not say that it is a sin to have money. The Bible doesn't say it's a sin to have lots of money. Okay? The Bible doesn't say it's a sin to save money. But folks, it is wrong when we start to store up wealth, especially when we've got the money, but we have unpaid debt. We've got the money, unpaid debt. We've got the money, we're holding back on paying our accounts. We've got the money, but we owe people money. This is wrong. This is wrong. You know, in the Bible, when you have a look at the Bible, it's just incredible how God just pours out His favor and His financial blessing on so many people that were so committed to Him. We see it with Abraham, we see it with Job, we see it with Nicodemus, we see it with Mary and Martha, we see it with Joseph of Arimathea, we see it with Abraham. It's very, very interesting because Abraham was a very, very rich person, very wealthy. And he is noted, when you have a look at Abraham, he's not only wealthy, but he is noted as a man of faith, and he's noted as a man of character. And in actual fact, the Bible said that he is a friend of God. Friend of God. Very wealthy. So God's got some wealthy friends. Right? God is the one that blessed him. Poured out his favor upon him. Then again, we can go and have a look at our Lot. You remember Lot? Right? Lot got very, very, very wealthy. But his wealth ruined his character. That wealth that he had. And ultimately, it ruined his family. You go and read what Lot and his daughters got up to, and okay. So the following scriptures that I'm going to give us now tell us about the fleeting nature of wealth. Here today, gone tomorrow. The first one we see in Proverbs 23 verse 4. Solomon says, "Don't exhaust yourself acquiring wealth." Too many people, you know, it's just, I want money, and they will go out there and they just tire themselves out trying to get this money. He says, don't exhaust yourself acquiring wealth. Be smart enough to stop. Stop exhausting yourself, right? Have some balance there. He goes on to say, you will catch only a fleeting glimpse of wealth before it is gone. It makes wings for itself. Like an eagle flying into the sky. Right? Here's another one. And this is interesting here. When I saw this scripture, I started studying a little bit deeper into it. Anyway, let me just tell you. This is Haggai 1 verse 6. Listen to what it says here. You have sown much. Now, see this as a farmer. A farmer has got a whole, you know, he's worked hard, he's got a whole lot of seed, and he goes out there and he has sown much. Is he working hard? He's sown much. You have sown much. And then it says, and harvested little. Right? You're working hard, really hard, but there's no rewards. He says, you eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. It's like you're going out there, you're working so hard, getting your salary, and you've got this big bag, and you're taking these gold coins or silver coins, and you're putting them in there. And he says it's like you're putting them in there, and this bag has got holes in it. That as you walk, you know, these things, the coins are just falling out. And he earns wages, does so, to put them in a bag with holes. And I was looking at that, and I thought, no, Lord, why? This is just not so fair. It's not fair. Working so hard, you know, have sown much and planted much, but harvesting little. Why? This isn't fair. And I went back a few verses to verse 4, and it actually gives the reason. And here's the reason. You go and read it, verse 4. Because we are neglecting the things of God. We are neglecting, in this context, neglecting God's house. And it says we're neglecting God's house, and this is what happens. Verse 6, as you carry on. It's an interesting study. Go and read it, folks. This is, for me, it was just, you know, enlightening. And as I say, I was quite happy with that verse 6 in terms of what I wanted to share. But, you know, we get inquisitive. We want to know why. And verse 4 tells us why. Neglecting God's house, neglecting the things of God. In fact, even Jesus in Matthew 6 verse 19, he says, do not. When Jesus says do not, isn't that a suggestion? It's not a suggestion. When Jesus says do not, Jesus is commanding us not to do something. He says, do not, instruction, lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In other words, that we start to do things that are important to God. Those things that are on God's heart, those things that are important to God. He says that's how we lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Folks, we need to have a godly perspective. Godly people think about eternity often. The eternity that we're going to move into. Worldly people very rarely think about eternity. Okay, they think about now. So this life that we are living right now is really, really brief. We're only here for a short period of time. And folks, we cannot take our wealth with us when we move into the next stage of life. Now, I'm saying the next stage of life, because many, many people believe that when you die, you're like an animal, you don't exist. Okay, I don't exist. No. When we die, we exist. And we're going to be on either one or two places. A real place called heaven, if we have made a decision to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Or a real place called hell, if we have rejected God's gift to mankind. Dave, you said the H word in church. Yes, I did, because the Bible speaks a lot about it. You know, even this, I was pondering it a couple of days ago as I was going through this, and I was thinking, you know, there's so many people reject this thing of hell, and they start to mock it in a way, where hell, and you see like a hell, hot place, and then you see like a little demon. Who remembers hot stuff, eh? Two little horns, okay, a little tail with a thing on it, you know, like a cute little... Folks, we better be aware of the fact that there is an eternity and there's one or two places where we're going. And we need to make sure not only that we go to heaven, but those around you actually go there as well. That's why I said 2 weeks ago, when we go through those doors here, this is our half time. We've now had a little, you know, soccer match and we're eating our oranges. Remember I said that? When we go out there, we are going into our mission field. And it's up to us to ensure that those that we know, those that we come into contact with, are also drawn into the kingdom of heaven, that are also going to spend eternity with you and with me in a real place called heaven. So we need to ask God to help us to see how foolish it is, you know, to live in this world and embrace this world system and accumulate, you know, all of this stuff. The things of the world, that's really what we're talking about here. And I believe that when we ask God to show us this, that He'll give us an understanding and a real revelation and give us this insight and wisdom about our time here on planet Earth and what we're moving into, that we are ready for that. You know, it's interesting. We're looking at the book of James, and I shared a while back, do you remember who James is? Okay. James also was the pastor, calling the pastor, of like the first church in Jerusalem. That's this James we're speaking about here. Now, James wrote this letter, and it was just 10 years later, after James wrote this letter, that Jerusalem fell. Jerusalem was invaded by the Romans. And there were many wealthy people living in Jerusalem. The church, people were living there. But these people came in, and all the wealth that these people had were taken overnight as the Romans came in there. Just like that. And these could have been, a lot of them were putting their trust in their wealth. Man, I'm okay, Jack. Right? Not focusing on eternity, but focusing on this world and this world system. And of course, just 10 years later, the Romans came in and then took it over. All right. So all that accumulated wealth, one sweep, gone. So folks, I'm going to call a spade here as I'm sharing this morning. And one of the things that I need to say, the thing of greed, okay, is just not on. Because it's when we start to hoard like this, hoarding is greed. How many of you, maybe you ladies, you got a friend, they go out into Eastgate and into Bedford Centre and they buy new clothes and new shoes and someday they just invite you into their bedroom to show you their new jacket, whatever it is, and you look in and you just see clothes. Just clothes and just shoes. These are the new ones, right? Those are the ones from last week. And those are the ones from the week. Just keep on adding. Never, ever taking and sharing and giving away. Just hoarding. It's not even a pleasant picture to when you think about it. Folks, let's not be hoarders. Maybe here's an opportunity for us. Get into your cupboards, right? Krisha's very good at this. And she invades my cupboard. There's certain techies and things that I've grown accustomed to that I suppose if I put on my feet, they don't want to even leave my feet. They kind of stick to my feet. But she goes through and she likes to just haul out and just, who's that place you always give it to? Little Eden or whatever. All these places, you know. Maybe that's something that we should be doing. You know, checking our own hearts out and saying, I'm making a decision. I'm going to clear out. And then maybe reaching a point, okay, every time you buy a new something, you take an old something out. And go and bless somebody with it. Because the Lord's favor will be on you. Okay? He wants us to be generous. This is what Jesus had to say about this in Luke 12, verse 15. He says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, take care and be on your guard. What does that mean? We are on our guard. Jesus said, be on your guard against all covetousness. Now, covetousness is a desire for possessions, a desire for stuff. Jesus says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Your life is not about all the stuff that you've got. And the next thing, and the next thing. It's not about things. Not about things. It's interesting because God did not intend money to be a goal. Money is not a goal. Money needs to be a tool that we use. Now, it's interesting. I may have mentioned this before because whenever I think of finances, I think of bumper stickers. And I know I've said this before, but you know, I remember seeing that bumper sticker so clearly when I was younger. And the bumper sticker said, remember the days when bumper stickers were fashionable? All right. We're giving our age away here. The bumper sticker said, he who dies with the most toys wins. So you go out there, and if you've got a car, and you've got a bike, and a motorbike, and a swimming pool, and a fish tank, and a jet ski, the list just goes on. And if you've got more toys than the next guy, you win. This is a world thinking, folks. This is a world thinking. So we are not to hoard our money. All right? And also, money will never ever make you happy. Never make you happy. We think it serves a purpose. But then it's not going to make you happy. I was just thinking about this as well. I mean, you guys probably know. You have this guy Maslow. There's a theory. It's Maslow's hierarchy of motivational needs and wants. Now, Maslow came up with this whole theory. It's a triangle. So you've got this triangle right at the bottom. You've got your basic needs, which would be food, right? Water, okay? Next one, shelter. We need a tree over our head, right? And it starts to move up, and eventually it gets to, obviously, the money thing. But right at the top of it, it's what they call self-actualization, where you're at the top of your game, and it's no longer about money anymore. It's about your status and, you know, how influential you are and what a big deal you are. And that is, you know, this theory that he came up with. Folks, we need to just be real when it comes to these finances. Like I said, money will never make you happy. What about all of those rock stars? Some of them billionaires. What about all of those sportsmen and women, some of them billionaires, that are, some of them have committed suicide or are suicidal or you know, on serious antidepressants, and they have billions. Billions. Money. Not happy. Not happy. Why? Money will never make you happy. The problem is that the more you have, the more you want. Now, there's a need. We all need money. There's nothing wrong, like I said right in the beginning, there's nothing wrong with having money. But the more you need, it's the more you want. So what happens, it seems to be that like a vacuum is created on the inside of you, okay, and that is just never satisfied. Go and ask the Guptas. Okay. I will loot and plunder. I've got 20 billion. No. But that's not enough. I want 40 billion. I want 100 billion. You know, this is a problem. In other words, it's money for the sake of money. There's no purpose in it. It's just, you know, it's just a game. It's greed. And I'm going to give you a scripture where God speaks about this. Now. The next thing about money, right? Don't withhold it deceitfully. I've touched on that just now. And folks, earn it honestly. Be honest. There's always temptations out there, you know. And in a way, this world and this world system, you know, if you're not part of, you know, the little backhander. I mean, I remember when I was setting up a business in Ghana, I had this guy come in. You know, because now I'm going to do it and do it properly. And it was a lot then, you know, maybe it was the industry I was in. It was a lot about backhanders and bribes and corruption. This guy came into my office, lives there. He says, "You will never ever make it here because you don't know how we do business." This is what he says to me. Maybe he's right. All right. So we don't have to partake in all of that. Let's just be honest, because do you really think that we can be corrupt and then we sit down on our beds and start to, "Oh Lord, won't you bless my business? Lord, just pour out your," you know, and we duck in and dive in and taking bribes and doing stuff that we shouldn't be doing, and then we go and pray and ask God to bless it. We got a decision to make, right? And sometimes it's a hard decision. When it comes to just those little things, where there's, you know, ducking and diving going on. All right. Where was I? I went off at a tangent. I don't often go off at a tangent, do I? Okay. I was saying, okay, let's be honest. In James, it's 5 verse 4, he says, "Behold the wages of the laborer who mowed your field." So get the picture. So there's people, you know, you go along and you get to come and work for you, who mowed your fields, their wages, which you kept back by fraud, James says. He says, those people are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. So we get people on board, working for us, and we start ducking and diving and withholding, you know, stuff that really belongs, money that really belongs to them. When they go home, they start to pray about those things. James says, the Lord hears them. Okay, that's the New Testament. I'll give you another scripture from the Old Testament, which I'll like to unpack a little bit. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 14, it says, "Don't withhold pay from hired workers who are poor and needy. whether they are Israelites or foreigners. So often, folks, people take advantage of foreigners, especially in the workplace. People come from other countries. There might be whatever's going on in other countries. They land up in a particular country, and the people living there will abuse them and not pay them. He says, don't withhold pay from hired workers who are poor and needy, whether they are Israelites or foreigners living in one of your cities. He says, pay them each day before sunset. Pay them before sunset. When they've done their job, pay them. Because they are poor and need their pay. In other words, they need their pay on time because they don't have money. Listen to what it says now. Otherwise, they will complain to God, to the Lord about you. And you will be condemned for your sin. So when we start to, whether it's foreigners or you know whoever it is, and we're not paying them as we're not doing what we said we would do, when they get home, they start to pray, and they take this thing to the Lord, and it says, and you will be condemned for your sin. So let's just see the picture here, because you know he paints an interesting picture here. So you have a situation where there are families that are struggling. Maybe they are starving families. You know, they're hungry. They might be weak. And then the landowner, the landlord, gets a good idea. He says, okay, all those guys over there, and I see there's some foreigners there. And okay, those guys. Right. Okay, come and work in my field. Come work for me for the day, and I'll give you such and such a wage, however much he decides on. And you can be assured that it won't be a lot of money. All right? It was probably not too much, but these guys were thinking, well, you know what? I'll go and work there because it's better than nothing. So all day long, they go out there, they're in the field, and the sun's beating down on them, and they're working and toiling and sweating and doing whatever they do. Looking forward to the evening when it starts to cool down a little bit. And, you know, he's just looking forward to being able to take this salary, this wage, and take it home to his wife and family, whatever it is. Then at the end of the day, says here, this guy arrives with some of his bullies. He wouldn't come by himself. He's probably got a few guys with him, you know, to give him some support. And he says to them, he says, you know what? I don't have the money right now for you. Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you. Tomorrow's too late. Tomorrow's too late for that family, for that guy, for his family, whatever it might be, for their this desperate situation, and they need food and so on. That guy had made them promises. He said, you know, work for me and I'll pay you and so on. But the desperate cries of that family, that husband and that wife, according to the word of God, reaches the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they're not paid, but they go home and they start to pray. God hears their prayer. James reminds us as well. That wasn't James there, but James also reminds us that the Lord hears their prayers, their cries of those that have actually been cheated. Okay. The abuse of the poor in that situation gets the attention of Almighty God. He responds to that, the God of the universe. The next thing that we see here in this portion of Scripture about money, don't spend it selfishly. Don't be selfish. Okay? Don't be selfish. Share it. Be generous. I'll give you some scriptures. You know, as I was doing that as well, I just remembered seeing the scripture, I don't know where it is, where the Bible says that God has given us the ability to create wealth. He's given us the ability to create wealth. It might be that He's given you a sharp mind, that you can go out there and create wealth with your mind. It might be that He's given you health and you're able to get out and physically go and work the fields or the land, whatever it is. But the Bible says it's God that has given us the ability to create wealth. Verse 5 it says, you have lived on the earth in luxury. Remember, these are rich people in that context. And in self-indulgence. How often in our context do we find, you know, rich people, the self-indulgence? You have fettered your hearts in the day of slaughter. God blesses you as you give. God blesses you as you share. Right? You know, there's a cliche, and I know it's a cliche, and it's a well-worn cliche in church, but it's still very, very valid today. And that is that you can never, ever outgive God. You can't outgive God. Not possible. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs here, 11 verse 24. This is interesting. One gives freely, so he gives freely, and yet he grows richer. So he's got a whole lot, but he's just giving freely. And the Bible says, well, Solomon says, that he grows richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want or only suffers lack. So it's like God saying, you know, for those that are just giving, you know, I will just bless you. You're going to get more and keeps on. That's what he said. One gives freely and grows all the richer. Others hold back, stingy, won't release. And they start to suffer want and start to suffer lack. Next verse says, whoever brings blessings will be enriched. And the one who waters, in other words, the one that gives, the one who waters, will himself be watered, will himself be blessed. And it's talking about the blessings of God. You'll be blessed as you just start to release. What is that Dead Sea, huh? Dead Sea, why is it dead? Because water runs into the Dead Sea and it doesn't run out. Am I right? It's dead. Folks, allow our finances to come in and to be released as well. This is what Jesus said. Are we okay this morning? Are we awake? Cool. I'm nearly done. This is what Jesus said. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew 6 verse 19. I've read part of them, but the last verse I want to expound on a little bit, which is very interesting. Jesus says, do not lay for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and thieves do not break in and steal. Now listen to this. Next verse Jesus says, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. He did not say, where your heart is, your treasure will be. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He said the opposite to that. And where we put our treasure, where we decide to put our treasure, if you put your treasure there, that is where your heart is. If you put your treasure there, that is where your heart is. That's what's important to you. Have we placed our treasure in the things of God? Have we placed our treasure doing the will of God? Because that is where your heart is, according to what Jesus said. Where you have put your treasure, that's where your heart is, not the other way around. Very interesting that. So folks, we need to look inwardly. Where are we putting our treasure? Are we putting our treasure in the right place? You know, God's concern is our attitude towards wealth and not with wealth. Our attitude. What is our attitude towards wealth? What is our attitude towards money? In Proverbs 13 verse 11 it says, wealth gained hastily. How many of us like that quick rich scheme? All right. Hey, but come, I've got this thing, man, just join me. You know, put your money in this thing and you know those things. And sometimes they're so tempting. And eventually, some of them are so smart, they're quick rich, you know, these are Ponzi schemes, that people with education as big as this, okay, in finance as big as that, are hooked. Want to make a quick buck? Listen what he says. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle. Quick rich schemes. But whoever gathers little by little by little by little will increase it. That's how we do it. Right, don't be tempted when these people come at you. God says that we need to go out there and work hard, little by little, and also with it we exercise faith and we put our trust in Him as well. Another thing, folks, don't be a workaholic. I've been in corporate business. I know what it's like. And I know how difficult it is, so I fully understand. But don't be a workaholic, all right? We have to make sure somehow that we keep a good balance between our work and our family. Work and family. Good balance. Very good balance. I remember when I was in corporate business, it was kind of really expected of you. I mean, it was an interesting scenario where I think at 7 o'clock at night they would open the pub. All right? So this was interesting. Now I've got a wife and I've got my boys. I actually went to our MD and I said to him, I said, listen, John, this is my situation. I'm happy when we've got things that need to be done. Right? If we've got month ends and we've got conferences and new product launches and so on, I'm happy to be here 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8, 9, 10, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I don't mind doing it. Don't mind doing it. Because it needs to be done. I accept that. But I'm not prepared to sit here and now hang around because not too much work has been done kind of after 6 o'clock. That I'm going to sit around 6 o'clock because they're opening up the pub at 7 and, you know, now we're going to socialize and people are just hanging around, doing no work. But that's the goal. I said, I'm not in. And yeah, I think it did impact on my career. You know, I'm sure it did. But I just made sure that my job was done, but would not get involved in all of that. Folks, you don't want to be a dad or a mom, and you go to your 13-year-old and your 14-year-old, and now you want to get to know them. Hello, sweetie. You know, it's your 13th birthday, and tell daddy about you. I want to know all about you. How are you? I'm just saying. Let's get our priorities right here, all right? Between work and family. And also remembering that money is a tool and money is not a goal. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture on that. Because so often, people make money the goal. I just want to be rich. I want lots of loot, man. I want to be rich. Listen to what the Bible says. When it becomes the goal. This is now in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 9. But those who desire to be rich. So there's a desire in people, some people, I just want to be rich. I don't care about, you know, what I'm going to do. I just want to be rich. But those who desire to be rich, wrong attitude, fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Plunge people into ruin and destruction because you just want to be rich. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some, listen to this, these are Christians now that have walked like this with the Lord, cravings that some have wandered away from the faith, and pierced themselves with many pangs. Folks, it says that when money becomes so important, when it's just about getting rich, and not keeping the balance, and not having a purpose for the money, right? That it can even lead you away from the Lord, that you eventually your relationship with the Lord is out there and it is that shallow. That's what he says. So Timothy says that people who just want to get rich, just want money, honey. That's what I want. I want money, right? He says those people, they fall into a trap. And also remember too, we hear it so often quoted in churches. Money is the root of all evil. We've heard that. Money is the root of all evil. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it is the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. In other words, when we look at that, that is a heart attitude. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil. Not evil. So you can have lots of money and ask the Lord to bless you, but have a purpose and be mindful of God and His kingdom and the extension of His kingdom and see that His favor is on you. Money is not evil. Like I said, you can have a poor person, maybe with not much, but they are very generous and they give. But then you can have a wealthy person that is really stingy. Stingy. Okay? So it's important. Our attitude towards money is the thing that can be evil. Money is not evil. Right? It's not evil at all. Just in closing, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. How many of you have come across, Marco was sharing just now, okay, as he was walking in, we were talking about, and I said to him, this is part of, you know, what I want to discuss this morning, where you find suddenly somebody's rich and they've got attitude. When they were poor, they were quite nice. Now they're rich. Now they've got attitude. And it says here, Timothy says, go and tell them not to be proud. You know, like, hey, I'm rich now, you know, so I can talk ugly. Hey, you do that now. Pride, right? As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to be proud. Go and tell them not to be proud. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. We looked at some of those scriptures, how finances can just disappear. We saw with James how, you know, Jerusalem just was taken over by the Romans, where they were obviously very wealthy people, just didn't have it anymore. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but to focus on God. It says, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Folks, when we handle our finances in a way that is pleasing to God, the way He wants us, we start to enjoy our finances. And it's God, the Bible is a scripture, don't ask me where, it is God that gives us the ability to enjoy our wealth. He gives you the ability to enjoy it. So folks, we can see here, you know, that God's counsel is not against the wealthy. Don't ever think, well, you know, I don't want to get too wealthy, and man, just go and get wealthy. But have the right attitude. Have the right attitude and do with it what the Lord is. Like I said right in the beginning, consider the Lord in all of this, and He will show you where to put, you know, your finances. But don't ever say, well, you know, misquote scripture, this thing of, you know, wealth, money, you know, money is the root of all evil, where it's not even, it doesn't say that, it says the love of money. So make sure, all we have to do is make sure that our priorities and God's priorities when it comes to our finances is the same. Amen. And that's all I've got to say. Easy. There we go. Yeah. Folks, there's responsibilities here. You know, it's, he had a lot to say about that, and we need to take heart of what the Word says about these things. That we start to move out of operating in the natural and how our natural kind of the way we wired. And let's take a step into the river, God's river, and apply His principles and then start to just float down that river, enjoying the finances, the blessings He pours out upon us, and it becomes so much easier when we're doing it right. Amen. Father, we just thank You this morning so much for Your Word that You can counsel us even on this thing of finances. Lord, we just give You thanks this morning. And I ask, Lord, that even as the Word has gone out, that we are those that have not only heard it, but we make the necessary adjustments in our own hearts and in our own lives. And we start to live in a way that is pleasing to You. And Father, we just say thank You. We give You alone the praise, the honor, the glory. In Jesus' name, just with your eyes closed, is there anybody here that you're not sure about your salvation? You're not even sure that you're going to heaven? Because I'd like to pray for you. In fact, if that's you, won't you come and have a chat to me afterwards? I'd like to just show you some scripture here. It's good that we always give people an opportunity to see what the Word says on this. And also, is there anybody here that needs healing, or you need a touch from God in some area, right? It might be in the area of finance that we've been speaking about this morning. So whatever it is, if you need God to intervene in your situation, won't you please come up here now, and let's just pray for you. So Father, we just say thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.